Let's read verses 69 through to the end. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid or young lady saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I swear, I promise you, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee, or evidence against you. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He went out and wept bitterly. Bitter weeping over denial and remembering the Lord's word to him. Bitter weeping. Simon's denial was the most bitter memory in his life. I am certain that he never got over this. Like David, he would always say, My sin is ever before me. But God, through this story, he brought about Peter's conversion through this denial. You see, though we are offended in him at times, he is not ashamed to call us brethren. See, this is our salvation, you see. If we learn anything from this, learn this. That he saves us in spite of ourselves. Though we're offended by him, he is never offended in us and not ashamed to call us brethren. Though we forsake him, every one of us, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Though we deny him, he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny those whom he is united to. And he graciously calls back and heals the backsliding of every one of his people through the gospel. The gospel that says, go tell my disciples and Peter. Luke 22. Go over to Luke 22 with me. It's a little more in-depth account of what happened before Peter's denial. Luke 22. As said before, Peter's denial and ours begins a long time before we deny him. Peter and us were born in denial. We were brought forth from the womb. In sin did our mothers conceive us and brought forth from the womb in sin and unbelief. We're brought up in denial. We live in denial through our many years, 30, 40, I don't know how long you lived before the Lord revealed himself to you, but you were in denial. You had no thoughts of God, no thoughts of Christ. And even still, we all deny him by our words, by our actions, by our attitude, by our unbelief, by our silence. These are all denials. But God. See, I cannot preach the gospel without those two words. See, the word convinces us of sin. It says, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, who were dead. You, who walked according to the course of this world. And you, who have denied him. And you. But God chose Simon, loved Simon, bought Simon. called him by his word, called him by his gospel, called him, saved him by his grace. Simon belongs to the Lord. He's not his own anymore. He's bought with a price. And the Lord's not going to let him go. He's not. Remember, after all this, he said, I'm going fishing. He said, well, go ahead, but the Lord's coming back after you like he did the first time. If he bought you, you're his. You're not your own. And you can't leave. Where's the bill of your divorcement, he said. You can't leave. And Simon's whole life was a lesson in this, and ours is too, in that you did not choose me, I chose you. And that you do not provide for yourself, you're not kept by your own faith or power, you're kept by my power. Even in our sins and our denials, this is all for God's glory, to the praise of the glory of his love. He loves his own to the end. To the praise of the glory of his mercy. He's ever merciful, long suffering, his grace, his faithfulness. David said, deliver me in thy faithfulness and in thy righteousness. Oh, he will. He will, if that's your hope. Luke 22, verse 19, the Lord, remember, he said, verse 21, he said, behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Son of man goeth, as it would determine. They all, remember, began to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Now, that's a safe place to be. That's the place to be. Suspicious of yourself. Not trusting yourself. That's a good place to be. Examine yourself. Not to see what progress you've made. If you really examine yourself, what you'll find is, what you'll think is, I haven't made any progress at all. And you'll be wondering if you're a child of God at all. You'll see more sin in there than you did in the beginning. But here's what it says. Examine yourself to see if you be of the faith. That is, who you're trusting. Who you're trusting. Who you're looking to save you. Self-examination is good. And they all came to the Lord and said, Lord, you decide this. Is it I? Is it I? If it is, don't let me do this, please. They all did that. But then it wasn't long after that. Look at the next verse. Verse 24. Unbelievably, there was a strife among them. Which should be counted the greatest? Where's all this, is it I? Every one of them got involved in this. How can this be? How can this be? Because the Spirit is willing. But the flesh is weak. And they're all flesh. That which is flesh is flesh, and flesh is proud and sinful. If the Lord leaves us alone for a minute, we'll begin to be puffed up with pride. Oh, my. Has anyone in here ever been offended because someone didn't call on you, didn't include you, or whatever? You feel like you're unloved and unnoticed and not appreciated. Anybody? Anybody? Is there anybody that hadn't? Now, why is that? And it makes strife, doesn't it? It puts bitter envy and strife in you against your brother. Why aren't they calling me? Why do they call them and not? What we're saying is, I deserve to be called upon. They ought to be including me. How could they do this to me? And that's pride is what that is. If you really esteem yourselves as the chief of sinners, you will indeed esteem others better than yourself. Peter, after he's converted, Peter, after he lifts up himself above his brethren, and it's right after this, Peter said, well, they all may leave you, but not me. Peter, after he's converted, after it's all over, when he really finds out about himself, Peter is thinking, if I'm one of his disciples, I don't see how. And if my brethren will include me, it will be great grace if they'll let me back. That's what he's thinking. I don't deserve to be among them, but I sure would appreciate it. That's conversion. Be brought out of self. To hate self, love others. To loathe self and esteem others. To abase self and lift up others. That's conversion. And our Lord said in verse 31, said unto Simon, Simon, now this is directed at him, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Simon's the one that, he's pretty much the leader of these apostles, wasn't he? So he was Satan's chief target. And the Lord knew it. And he warned Simon, Satan hath desired thee, sift you like wheat. Now, the God of this world, people, the God of this world holds captive everyone in this world. Except the Lord's chosen ones. They've been delivered. They've been redeemed. They've been set free by the Son of God, Spirit indwelling. And Satan knows this. Like Job, he knows it, that he can't touch them unless God allows them. He knows that. But Satan doesn't know everything. And he doesn't believe in the perseverance of the saints, the perseverance of the saints. He doesn't believe in that. And he desires to sift like wheat. If the Lord lets us go according to his will and his purpose like he did Job, we're easily sifted, easily tempted, easily drawn away. But our Lord, here is Peter's salvation and ours. In verse 32, he said, I have prayed for thee, but God, but I. Satan desires you. And if I let you go, he'll sift you, turn you inside out. You ever sifted anything? There's nothing left after it's over. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. I have prayed for you. You see, we're not saved by our prayers. We're saved by Christ's prayer. He ever lives to make intercession for us. There are times we go and we don't do much praying, isn't it? Anybody? But our faith is this. He is the object of our faith. That our faith fail not. Our faith is not a creed. Our faith is not a doctrine. Our faith is not things we believe. Our faith is a person. You see, where Scripture says we're saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. By the faith of Him. His blood, His righteousness, His power, His prayers. That faith will never fail. The one who trusts Christ will never fail. We fail, but he shall not fail. And he's able to keep us from falling, but will allow us to fall like he did Peter here for our conversion. We'll never fall away completely. God's people that are in Christ, that trust in Christ, will never fall away. Many, I heard a man preach, and we were thrilled by this illustration. He said, Noah, he was in that ark, wasn't it? For a year. He was in that ark. One morning he got up and he tripped and he fell. But he didn't fall out of the ark. He fell in it. He was shut in. He didn't fall out the door. The door was shut and sealed with pitch. He fell in it and hurt, but he didn't fall out of it. You see how vital it is to be in Christ, to trust Christ, even in the face of your worst sins. When Peter heard it was the Lord, what did he do? He was in that boat, he denied him. He felt like he was an unbeliever. Not one of the disciples. What did Peter do when he heard it's the Lord? He couldn't get to him fast enough. You can have all these fish. It has suddenly dawned on me that the one thing I need is him. And when converted, we go through this denial. We all do and will and shall. Bitter trials. We see ourselves for what we really are. He says this, strengthen your brethren. As said, Peter felt worst of the worst. He felt like he didn't belong. But you know, they all forsook him, didn't they? Didn't they? They all forsook the Lord. Every one of them. And so they all knew, we're no better than you, Simon. Peter came back and they said, we're no better than you, brother. We all forsook him. This story is bitterly familiar to all of God's people who've done this very thing. Verse 69 says, Peter sat without in the palace. And he was afar off. He followed the Lord afar off. Remember that? You can't follow the Lord afar off. You can't do it. You'll be in outer darkness. You'll be cold. You'll find yourself sitting with the enemy. If you're sitting with the people of this world, and that's what he did. And he sat by their fire and tried to warm himself with their fire, with their company. And it can't be done. Peter was not comfortable. Bless God, Peter was not comfortable with them. And if you find yourself comfortable with the people of this world, the people who hate your God and hate Christ and never mention him except to curse his name, there's something wrong with you. Judas was very comfortable around them. Satan's sifting is very subtle. What harm can there be to sit with unbelievers? Doesn't the very first psalm tell us? The very first psalm says that David, a man after God's own heart, said, my companions are them that fear God. He said, I will not sit with the wicked. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. He's not listening. He's not listening to what they have to say. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight in the law of the Lord. In the law of the Lord. He's the people of God. Simon Peter was fine as long as he was companions with Bartholomew and Thomas. They're all sinners yet, but they knew the Lord. And their conversation and their life was Christ. And so David said, I won't do that. I'm not going to sit with them. We have nothing in common. When they blaspheme, listen to me. Here's the denial. Peter wasn't saying anything. Peter wasn't saying anything. And you tell me, we work with them. We have to. We deal with them. We have the people of the world. We have to. Paul said that. He said not to keep company with fornicators and so forth. He said, but he doesn't mean that you have to go out of the world to avoid that completely. He said, how can light have fellowship? How can you? How can you feel comfortable around? And when they blaspheme, when they blaspheme and stand the railroad, I work there. It's every other word in it. And when they blaspheme and I don't speak up on behalf of his name, I've denied him. And in their complaints, they complain about everything, the weather, about everything, especially the weather. Rain. That God ought to dry it up, shouldn't he, Nancy? Ought to completely withhold it forever. And when they complain and we don't speak up and say, oh, bless the Lord for this rain. We don't deserve it. He ought to be like Noah's day. It's going to be, brother. Yeah. We've denied him. And their praise of men, they praise men and they exalt and extol and honor men. If we don't speak up and say, man is worthless. There's only one man ever lived that's worth mentioning and honoring here. Only one man.
God is well pleased with, that's Jesus Christ. If we don't do that, we've denied Him. Right?
Anybody guilty? Best not to sit with them then, unless to save them, or else our silence denies Him. That's a fact. As I said, our Lord sat with publicans and sinners, ate with them for one reason. He had His elect.
And He preached to them every time, didn't He? He glorified God and He preached to them, told them the truth every time.
And there was time that He said, He passed by whole cities. We're not going to stay there. We don't have any elect there. Not going to spend any time with them. Well, a damsel came, verse 69. A damsel, a young lady. Was she pretty? Was she fair? How easily Satan can sift or tempt the strongest man by a mere maid, by a damsel, or a woman for that matter, with a man. You know, it's never been considered manly to be a Christian. Fact is, though, it takes a man of great courage like our Lord to stand for the truth against, even though everyone does not. I love Martin Luther. Oh, I love that man. Love that man. And he practically stood alone. Said, here I stand against all the scorners, against the whole world. I can do no other. Any man... Oh my, we've all been a little self-conscious about being thought a churchgoer or a Christian or whatever. Before, after the service. Oh my, God forgive us. God forgive us. Verse 70, but He denied before them all. They said, he was with Him, and He denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. This is why we should not be hasty to utter anything before God. Peter said, though all shall be offended, not I. So the Lord, it says, He denied before them all. We need to put our hands over our mouths, don't we? Be sure the sin of pride will find us out. If we belong to the Lord, the sin of pride, and it's perhaps the worst. God hates a proud look more than any other thing. And we will fall. It always goes before a fall. And with hope, it's for our conversion. To make us less than the least, not fit to be called a disciple, unworthy, and esteem our brethren higher, and esteem this gospel as the most unworthy and blessed and high privilege that we could ever have. That's the reason. That's conversion. Verse 71. And when He was gone out in the porch, another maid, another young lady, saw Him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. See, they all began to recognize Him. The longer we walk with Christ, the more recognizable we will be. Oh boy. So our denials bring even greater reproach on Him. Verse 72. And again He denied with an oath, I do not know the man. I promise you, I swear I don't know him. With an oath. You know, if the Lord hadn't... Who was it I read on this? They said, the Lord will allow us to fall. And sometimes even a believer can fall and then fall and fall and keep getting deeper. And if God hadn't already before determined how far He would fall, He would completely fall away. Our Lord said about Peter, He said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Once is bad enough. Two is awful. Three is, he's lost. No. Now the Lord said, hitherto shall you go, and no further. And a rooster reminded him. Everything is to the praise of His glory. The Lord sends little things, everything, anything. He can use anything to remind us of something He said, of His blessed promises, of our failures and yet His faithfulness. A rooster makes me want to get a rooster so that every morning I hear him crow. I'll think, it's of the Lord's mercy that I'm not consumed. But I got one, don't I? Right here. To read every morning to remind me. The word, remember thy word upon to thy servant, David said, upon which you caused me to hope. And verse 73, and after a while they came unto him, they that stood by, those that were he was warming himself with. And at the time he was with them, they had no clue that he was a believer. He didn't give any evidence to them while he was sitting by the fire. He didn't give any evidence that he was a believer. And then they finally recognized his face and said, surely thou art one of them. For thy speech bewrayeth thee. Surely. Now listen to this for our comfort. Turn to Proverbs 29 real quickly. Proverbs 29. I'm out of time, but I have a few more things I want us to see here. Proverbs 29. Something I want us to see here. Look at Proverbs 29, and this is the truth throughout God's Word. Verse 23, you have it? Proverbs 29, 23 through 25. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Whoso's partner with a thief hateth his own soul, he heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. He doesn't say anything. The fear of man bringeth the snare. See that? That's exactly what Peter did. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord should be safe. By the way, John, the beloved disciple, did flee like the rest. He had to. The Scripture says that. But it says John came back and went right in there with the Lord. And he never left his side after that. Went all the way to the cross, didn't he? And stood at the foot of the cross with the Lord. And you wonder why John was so close. Why the Scripture says the disciple whom he loved. Wonder why John had so much peace, so much comfort. He left and it scared him to death and he went running back. He wasn't talking. He wasn't saying, I'll die with you. He just ran. He's the one that told the girl to go out and get St. Peter. He's the one that told the girl, my friends out there, Simon Peter, go let him in. And that's the first one that said, hey, you're one of them too, aren't you? And Peter, verse 73 in our text says, or verse 73 says, your speech bewrayeth thee. Now, listen to this for our comfort. Even in Peter's denial, there's hope that he's not a reprobate. She said, your speech bewrayeth you. Though he denies the Lord, there's something undeniable about him. His speech. They'd been silent for a while, but Peter was a changed man. Yes, he was. He knew the Lord. He loved the Lord. The Lord said so, didn't he? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal me to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Thou art Peter the rock. And other people had heard him and saw him all those days, didn't they? Leading up to this, they'd seen him, they'd heard him. He talked to them, and his conversation had changed. His conversation was in the gutter. He had old fishing cronies that heard him all those years. And they said, something different about this old Simon. Oh, yeah. His speech was different. His conduct. He left everything. Now, are you going to find Simon Peter? Where are you going to find him? He's with the Lord and with his people. That's where he is. But now, this has to happen. This has to happen according to the Scripture. According to the Scripture might be fulfilled because Christ has got to go it alone. Even John's got to leave him. He's got to. And this has got to happen for Peter. This has got to happen for us. For our complete conversion. That boasting makes be excluded by everyone. And pride abased so that we all know we're just sinners saved by grace. As Peter start getting lifted up, little knowledge puffeth up, doesn't it? Well, my. Peter went out and wept bitterly after this. There's a song, I almost sung it for you today, but just didn't feel like it. A song that says, "He washed my eyes with tears that I might see." Might see myself. Might see him. Would never deny me. Oh, that'll convert you. Lessons learned from this. Pride goeth before the fall. Count on it. If we ever get lifted up in any way, especially above our brethren, get ready. We'll take a terrible fall. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What more can the Lord say to us than He hath said? Clean doesn't rub off. Clean doesn't rub off. We're saved. Here's a lesson we learned. We're saved by the sovereign power of God. We're kept by the power of God all the days of our life. Peter, the first thing out of his pen, 1 Peter 1, verse 5, we're kept by the power of God. Here's a lesson. The best man on earth is altogether vanity. Is a man at best. So, strengthen your brethren. They're just like you. Later on, you and I were talking about this. Later on, after Peter saw Christ suffer on the cross for him. Later on, after the Lord called for Peter, said, "Tell old Peter to come back." And he came back. Later on, Peter was given another opportunity. And he went out preaching. And he stood up in that temple. And he started preaching Jesus Christ. Now he knows the message, and him crucified. And they came and they laid hold of him and said, "You can't do this." He said, "You can't stop me." And they threatened him and they beat him. Him and John, I believe it was. They beat them both and said, "Don't you ever preach in that name again." And it says they went skipping home. He was rejoicing that he got another opportunity to suffer shame for his name and not deny him. May the Lord give us opportunities such as that for his glory. Okay.